So what are we talking about tonight? David, you had something you wanted to discuss?
Can a shelter community force parents to adhere to a dress code?
Can a sheltered community force parents to adhere to, what about an unsheltered community? You remind me of a joke. I remember when they were interviewing Bill Russell, who was the, oh, you need a chair? Just got a chair from behind you.
Bill Russell, Celtics?
Yeah, Bill Russell, yeah, inside, straight ahead, and you're right. Who's here? Just one. Coming right up. It's all right, here you go.
Impressed that into the Bill Russell Celtics.
Well, I wasn't so impressed that a Hall of Fame person like Bill Russell, you know, but he was on the Celtics already. So anyway, so they were interviewing Bill Russell, who was the star center on the Boston Celtics. I think they won 11 championships in a row, which, including the Yankees, is probably the longest running professional.
In a row.
11 championships in a row, I think so. Boston Celtics. So, like, you don't say the Boston Celtics stomp. Like, you don't say the New York Yankees like you say the Florida Marlins. You don't say them in the same breath. When you say the Yankees, you speak with respect. So when you say the Boston Celtics, you don't just ramble off the Celtics and the whatever Houston Rockets in the same breath. The Celtics are, you know, like Chashuva here. They deserve some respect. Anyways, they're interviewing Bill Russell, and I heard the interviewer, I'm getting to the joke, why you remind me of the joke, and the interviewer says, Bill, it said about you that you were you're the best center to ever play the game. How do you respond to that? And he says, Jim, why would you limit it to that? What a Balgaiva. Like, best center? The best player. What do you mean best center? So the question that was posed was, can a sheltered community require, what was it?
A mandatory dress code for parents.
Could you require parents to adhere to a dress code?
When they come
parents to
you
adhere to a dress code. And the question is the question is not limited to the chorus. Why would you limit it to that?
Okay, so why would I limit it to that?
You could say, can you afford, and you're not talking about kid, a school, you're talking about parents who are coming to pick up their kids.
It's the number one thread. Rabbi Kier texted me to look at the thread on Yeshiva World.
I mean, even...
It's a case that where someone, when... The case is someone applied for a seminary in Lakewood. I shouldn't say where, but... And said... And there was a box check. Does the father wear blue shirts? So they checked the box. Yes. So they said that they'll accept the daughter on the condition that the parent starts wearing white shirts. And as soon as... The father said he only wears them for work, so they said you have to keep a white shirt in your car, and as soon as you leave work, you have to put on a white shirt. Is that so? A, is that permissible for a school to do? Acceptable, permissible, or the right thing? And B, is it the right thing when they pick up, and a separate question, when they pick the person up from school, is that acceptable to require a dress code or for school events?
Well, when you're coming into school, like for example, we have parents coming to school, and there's a real tznius issue that they're not knowledgeable. Like in Lakewood, they're dealing with is the shirt blue or white? But we have, it's not Lakewood over here, and we have issues. You know, can they please, you know, cut, at least for the women, to dress tzniusic. You know, I'm talking about shoot them, cover, forget about your elbows. Now I'm talking about being, on the level of the Sacco Grill. They're talking about being on the level of Sneas, just, you know, even not that. So can you require that's also a dress code? It's the same Dian. But I do think that things that, you know, first of all, I think that things that are nogea to halacha, it's the school's responsibility to, you know, we had an issue once, and I remember in the high school, we had a mother wore pants.
Okay. Only
once. No, she wore pants, but she didn't wear. That's what she wore. She wore pants, and we had a lot of flack, and it really was a whole image issue, and what is the school, and how could you have a mother of a kid wearing pants? And I was told by someone one of the rabbanim close to the parents that if you say something, they'll take the kid out of the school. And if you don't say something, within a couple of years, she's going to become the firmest Rebbetzin in the town. Anyway, we didn't believe them. We didn't believe the Rav. But we were still too chicken to say anything. And we didn't believe him, but we didn't do anything because it's just the way we are. We were like, no, you do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. And I don't want to take credit for not saying anything, even though it would have been better had we made a decision not to say anything, so we would have got more schar. We didn't say anything, and the Rav was right. Now she's like the firmest Rebbetzin. If she would come in, you know, she's very stark.
What was behind the Yeshiva's decision not to say anything?
We didn't say anything. We felt that we should, you know, but we didn't because Lemaisa pants is not a tznius issue. We have bigger issues than pants. Some people that weren't wearing pants had worse issues than the people wearing pants. But the pants is a gaiva issue. It's a covet issue.
Tznius problem with pants?
I didn't mean it the way it sounded. It's often with pants, there's less of a tznius issue. There's a reason why, you know, men wear pants. But there's less tznius issues often with pants than there are with dresses. So sometimes you tell a person, please, you know, like we have custodians. We tell them to wear pants, please, wear pants. You know, and that avoids other problems. So I think the things that regard to halacha and regard to that, yeah, I think it's within their right to do that. I think they can, but you have to...
Coming to school or even in the house?
So coming to school is definitely, you know, it's your school, it's your house. You know, how do people come dressed in your house? You have an obligation of Harbatz's Torah, you have an obligation of creating the right atmosphere. What is a yeshiva anyway? A yeshiva is not just school, it's not just sub, it's not online. Oh, if you want something that's better than online school, you get to come in person and learn live. No, it's a yeshiva, in this sense, including a seminary, it's the whole avira, the whole ruach is being created in the place. So I think that it is within the yeshiva's right and obligation to create the right avira. And now, let's talk about, you know, the white.
Does this apply to basic laws of tznius, or does it go past that to an image they want to create of kosher white shirt?
I was getting to that. I was talking about the right avira. The white shirt, you know, that's much harder to understand because there's no de facto Isser, it's this all within the last 50 years, 40 years, you know, in the United States for sure. And where did it come from? You know, basically, it probably came from Chassidim, probably, the white shirts. Probably came from that.
Maybe thinks it's Masorah, but not a covet of Rios.
No, there was a whole issue. Now, the Slabodka, if you look at the Slabodka pictures, you know, Chofetz Chaim is Slabodka. You know, when they came from Europe, they leave Europe and come to Eretz Yisrael, the poshut place for them to have set up shop would have been in Yerushalayim, you know, 1920s, Slobodka, before World War II, they had to leave where they were. They escaped and they landed in Eretz Yisrael. And why didn't they go to Yerushalayim? They ended up in Hebron. They set up shop in Hebron. The reason why they didn't go to Yerushalayim is because the old yeshuv was in Yerushalayim, and they were not wanted. They were too modern. They dressed with white hats. The Slabodka dressed very slick. They dressed with the times. They were, you know, they had fashionable suits. The old yeshuv, you know, had the long Yerushalmi coats, and they were trying to establish. The old yeshuv means before the people came over, so in the 1800s, there was like an immigration into Eretz Yisrael. There were no Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And it was felt, you know, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer and Rabbi Shulam Diskin and others, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, they came from Europe, from Hungary, whatever, to try and set up a Haredi community in Yerushalayim. And they were very, very Haredi. Slabodka was not wanted there because they were fighting the Haskalah. They were fighting the reform and conservative movement, which was started in the late 1800s. So they didn't want any part of it because having Slabodka come, they dressed the same way as the Haskalah, as the modern people going off the derech. So there was that fight. They weren't wanted. And yeah, everyone knows the altar felt in the 1920s, you know, that the yeshiva should not stay in Hebron. He came in once. It's all recorded in the biographies that he did not want them to stay in Hebron. He said, "The Avos are not happy with us. We don't belong here. It's not proper covered." He felt that we should move from Hebron and go somewhere else. The Avos, he felt it was improper covered. They were like having yeshiva like right near Maris Machvela. He felt it wasn't right. We weren't able to honor the Avos in the proper way. And he mentioned many times that he doesn't think yeshiva should move. The Rosh Yeshivas at the time felt that they couldn't move. It was too hard. You know, someone tell us, "I don't think you should stay in North Palm Beach. I think you should move to Hollywood." Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We look at each other. It's not so easy to move to Hollywood. You got to get a building. Everyone's got to move. We have to move our houses. It wasn't so pashut. Lemaisa, 3 years later, allegedly, as the biography has it, was the massacre in Hebron, 1929. And you know, then they moved. You know, after that, they moved. But it was a pretty spooky story. You know, it's documented, the altar said, you know, "We should move. The Elvis are not happy with us." And if you go to anyone, if we, you know, Eretz Yisrael, I assume that everything should be calm. You'd probably be able to go to Hebron. And if we can go with you know, Simcha Hachbaum, he will definitely take you to, you know, go through every prat of what happened by the massacre. And just be careful with Simcha Hachbaum. He's not scared of Arabs, you know. Like,
he lives there.
Yeah, he's not scared of Arabs. I was in Kamenetz with him, so I know Simcha Hachbaum pretty well. And you know, it's just a. So that's also like a dress. If you want to understand the you know, what people think of Chavetz Chaim, it's probably what they thought of Slabodka. they weren't wanted in Yerushalayim.
There's an article that talked about Rabbi Meir Cohen, who was the current Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron. So like, Baruch Hashem, you got the white shirts back in Yeshiva, and uplifted the frumkeit in Yeshiva.
You said that now?
Yeah.
No?
Last year. Sorry, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, the world is changing. It's not like there's anything wrong with a white shirt. We're not against. I don't believe there's anything wrong with a white shirt. I think what's wrong, we're against. If somebody puts on a white shirt, it's fine. We, you know, to make someone wear a white shirt, there, that the issue there was, you know, the Masorah was not to impose a specific dress. There were svaras why the belt changed, and that the B'nai Torah wearing, you know, white shirts black pants. There's a reason they felt it should change, that the Bnei Torah should dress exclusive differently. And no one argued with those reasons. No one argued with the reasons. However, since it was not the Masorah, Slabaka, it was not the Masorah, and there were reasons why the Hashkafa, the reason why they wanted to change, there was reasons why it should be questioned. Number one, it could create a certain gaiva. There's an overemphasis or a higher emphasis on chitzonius. Chitzonius is an overemphasis. It happens to be that we do hold of chitzonius. We don't tell the guys to dress any way you want. You can come into yeshiva with a tank top and a pair of jeans and a pair of flip flops and learn yeshiva. You know, put your feet up. We don't agree that. Of course, we hold of chitzonius. But just like when you make a chocolate cake, there is not a chocolate cake in the world that does not have chocolate, flour, eggs, oil, sugar. Those are five obvious ingredients, and maybe the five only ingredients. And every single chocolate cake has it. But we've all eaten chocolate cakes. Some of them like awesome, and some of them like
not so
awesome. Anything else? I'll take the hamantashen. You know, like, so what's the pshat? It's the measurements of the oil, of the sugar, of the flour, of the eggs, chocolate. The measurements have to be exactly right, and the people who get it exactly right, they're the ones who are more masliach chocolate cake. So it's the same thing over here. You know, we hold the chitzonius, but how much? So that was a question. Too much chitzonius, the emphasis. Can become an emphasis, and you can have an 8-year-old who thinks he's on a higher madriga than all of us sitting here. He's wearing an orange shirt. You know, some 8-year-olds in a higher madriga. That, I don't know what it's called. So I don't even know what.
We're not going to say what it's called.
I don't even know what it's called. So an 8-year-old like will that think that he's on a higher madriga. He's like already reshiva or near reshiva, not the reshiva yet, but soon he will be. You know, he looks like the reshiva, so that's one of a great gaiva. The other reason is, I always quote the reshiva on this, Rabbi Goldman told him the story, he says, yeah, but that wasn't the main reason. The main reason is the chitzonius, an overemphasis on chitzonius, and that will lead to gaiva and people misunderstanding, you know, where they're holding. So you have to go la'at la'at, it's not the right. That's a cheshbon. In other words, by making everyone wear white shirts, you are exposing, there's a liability. It's a liability because they could end up with you know, creating gaiva or a feeling you don't have to work on yourself. Second reason, this reshiva told me, and Rabbi Lumen says a secondary reason, but wasn't the main reason. But the reshiva told it to me, he didn't tell it to me as a secondary reason, because I went over to him and I said, Rebbe, in Torah Sevis Kamenetz, starting in, I thought it was sixth grade, but then I found it was seventh grade. I told her she was sixth grade. They require white shirts starting in sixth grade, which is really, I heard. Torah Semis. Torah Semis. No, Torah Semis.
I know.
Is it eighth grade?
Right now in Brooklyn, it's eighth grade.
On Torah Yisrael. We're not talking about Torah Yisrael. Okay, seventh grade. was white shirts. So I said, Rebbe, Torah Semis, I wasn't Torah Semis. Torah Semis is not from the Fafrumta right-wing places. There are more Fafrumta right-wing places than Torah Semis Kamenetz. Okay? I mean, everyone's trying to jump on the bandwagon, but, you know, Voretsky, there are other yeshivish places that are more yeshivish than Torah Semis place, you know, Torah Tmima, you know. And if they're wearing white shirts so it's soon going to be, as I told this Roshiva, I don't know, 15 years ago, it's soon going to be that the Chafetz Chaim will be mamish gotzen. Not even, it's not, because it used to be when some people did, some people didn't. Okay, a lot of kids did, but it's going to end up be mamish gotzen. So I'm not saying we should wear white shirts, but maybe at least the older boys, 11th graders, I was talking about Miami, so maybe I didn't think the Roshiva held this, but I was trying to get, you know, Torahi, Valil Monani Tzarech. I had to ask the question in a way that get the Rashiva all riled up. And if you ask it like that, like, I'm, you know, I'm thinking of doing it. What do you think? I asked it that way just to get the Rashiva to respond. It wasn't a hashkafa question. What do we hold of? That's not as pressing, other than saying, like, Rabbi, I think we should tell, at least, maybe I should tell the 11th graders they should stop wearing white shirts. At least 11th graders and up. Oh, and then they said Baruch Hu in camp. It was in camp. And they said Baruch Hu. So I forgot about it because it was a good try, but I should have done it, started earlier. And then about 20 minutes later, I was, I don't know, doing something probably not very productive in camp, 11 o'clock at night. I had this golf cart coming at me, and it was Rabbi Yishal on the golf cart. The Shiva wants to see you immediately. Is everything okay? Yeah, he's very upset. What? He goes, because you said about the white shirts, he wants to speak immediately. Oh my gosh, I got summoned to Rashiva. Like, hey, Rashiva, he started by didn't know hellos. No hellos. How are you? Like, how can you do such a thing? He says, there'll be the end of Harbatzah's Torah in the world. The end of Harbatzah's Torah. In Milwaukee, he says, you know what happened? He says, because of the white shirts, there was almost no yeshiva in Milwaukee. Probably don't know the story. They called, when they wanted to start, the community wanted to start a yeshiva in Milwaukee, and they called up Lakewood. They didn't call Chofetz Chaim. They called up Lakewood. That's a real yeshiva. And they called Lakewood to send a couple of, you know, Gava Rabbas, start a yeshiva in Milwaukee. And they couldn't get one person to go. They couldn't get one person. Then they called the Rashiva. The Rashiva said he didn't have anyone to send. There was no one to go. So he called up the people who... If no one else to go, well, we called these couple of people in Lakewood, they didn't want to go. So the Rashiva called up the Avrechim from Lakewood and asked them, why won't you go? Start a yeshiva, I'll help you. So he said, no, they can't, because it came out that there's no cheder in Lakewood, in Milwaukee. There's no cheder at the time. There's no cheder. They had a day school, but they're not a cheder. So the Rashiva said, cheder, you know what cheder means? So I said, no, what does cheder mean? Since cheder means white shirts. So that means that, you know, if you have white shirts, people aren't going to go. Words, they wouldn't leave Lakewood because they're in one big cheder. Lakewood's one big cheder. And you can't leave the cheder. So Nebuch, they had to open up a Chofetz Chaim. They called Chofetz Chaim. I don't know, it could be they called Nei Yisrael. I don't know, they called anyone else. But the Rashiva holds that that's why Lakewood didn't go to Milwaukee, because... And the Rashiva said, I don't understand. You go to Milwaukee, you'll open the cheder. You'll start a cheder. But no, they wouldn't go. So he felt that white shirts means cheder. I mean, cheder means white shirts. And if that's where everyone's going to wear white shirts from the time they're little kids, they'll never go do Abbatzah's Torah. He says, white shirts is going to destroy Abbatzah's Torah in the world. There's no more Abbatzah's Torah. And
what's Brooklyn's Torah now to wear white shirts?
Okay, I'll get to Brooklyn in a second. So
I've been talking about it.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. I think there's very understandable reasons. And so that's why he felt that why, you know, he was in his white shirts. Therefore, he didn't say white shirts were wrong. He didn't say white shirts were wrong. He said that was a reason not to change the Masorah. Now, if you want to change the Masorah, so, and you have kashas, so don't change. Stick with what you had, because you don't know for sure that these issues won't come up. You have the issue of the chitzonius, greater emphasis on chitzonius, and it could cause gaiva, and it could end Habatzah's Torah. So those farads Rashiva held were strong enough that he didn't want to change the Masorah. You don't change unless it's vade, vade, vade. You don't change the Masorah.
In the 11th grade, it wouldn't stop Habatzah's Torah.
Yeah, maybe you have the other swar also. Yeah. And because he probably figured he wouldn't stop at 11th grade. Stop with 11th grade. Next year, the 10th graders also want to be chashuv, you know. So that's why you shouldn't change. Now, he didn't say anything wrong, per se, with the white shirt, but therefore, we shouldn't change the Masorah. You know, he didn't want to change the Masorah. He never seen any kashas on others. But, okay, now what he would say about the Shaila, the Rashiva...
Go back to parents, and if I could just add a question, should places, talking specifically about the base medrashes, maybe high schools also, should they ask these types of questions on applications? Should they ask questions such as, does a father wear a white shirt? Does the mother cover her hair?
It's not whether we're going to the school, is there internet in the house?
And that's should these questions be on application? It's like
You know, whether or not someone covers their hair, if you were going into a shidduch with someone, that's a fair question. I don't know if you would, you know, hassle anything, but you want to know that the mother cover her hair. It sort of says where they're holding. You know, who doesn't cover their hair? You know, like nowadays you have people who, like, you know, go to the beach. You know, they cover their hair and they wear these like bikinis and they cover their hair. You know, like everyone covers their hair, so like I think that's a fair question. You want to know where they're holding. That's a fair question. I don't know if there's any one, but the thing is, I don't know if there's an answer. I don't know if there's an answer. You know, they don't on that. They wear, now you want to know what are white shirts? Okay. Like it really depends what they do with the. You know, it's one guy, one of our alumni. Came to me and says, Rebbe, it's so not right, no, so not fair. You know, he needed shidduch, so he had to go to these professional shadchanim, and he had to fill out these questionnaires. He says they make you answer questions that you really don't want to answer, how to classify yourself. And I'm not happy with my classification, but there was no other category that I fit into. So I said, so what are you? He says, I'm not happy about it, but from the questionnaire, it turns out that I'm modern yeshivish. He's modern yeshivish because I'm not modern Orthodox. I couldn't write down I'm yeshivish because I'm going to college and I'm working. And so the only thing that I couldn't write down, you can't write down something that's false, you know. I'm going to call myself yeshivish. I would have said that I'm a Ben Torah looking to be Kovei'ed, like, but the only classification, you know, after everything was done, it like prints out what you are. Okay, he's modern yeshivish. So let's assume they're trying to find out, you know, what you are. You know, they're trying to find out what you are. So it's sad. It's very sad. It's very sad. You want to know if you were asking about them, what type of people? What type of people are they? Like white shirts, blue shirts. They're trying to find out who they are. Now, if they're writing a psul based on it, yeah, that's dead wrong. And unfortunately, that's dead wrong. Come on, guy wears a blue shirt. You're apostling him. But I hear.
Why can they try and make him wear one?
Oh, I don't know. I would think that the school, the seminary, whatever, it's their nice way of saying, "Could you please go to a different school? We don't really want you."
That's what.
So that's what they're saying. To change, keep a white shirt in the car.
But
and change
should they
it.
Be doing that? Is that a thing that should be done?
I mean, the whole thing is bordered on asinine. I'm trying to restrain myself. Okay, let's get back to Brooklyn. Talk something tachlis. Okay, let's not make fun of Lakewood. Let's go make fun of Brooklyn.
I shouldn't have said.
No. So Brooklyn, they're in a tough pickle. It's they're in a tough pickle. Okay, and they're in a tough pickle because they're sitting in a community. And you have, I walked around there recently, and you have Torah V'Das opening up on this corner, you have all the other yeshivas on this corner, and Torah Semis on that corner, and that's the way everyone dresses in Flatbush. You know, you figure out, you walk around Flatbush long enough, you can figure out, you know, a Brooklyn guy is dressing, walking around like a, you know, he's got a starched white shirt, and with his black pants, sits us out and cracks. Okay, it's everyone knows that Brooklyn, unfortunately, it's not one Masora there. It's not like one town, but that's how everyone dresses. So, like, if you're in the yeshiva, if they would have not moved to the white shirts, they by now it's few. You know, 4 years later, right? They're going to start losing Talmidim. They would have to close their doors. So do we hold on to the Masorah that you shouldn't wear white shirts to the extent we should close the yeshiva? Like, I know Volozhin, they closed when they were going to require secular studies. You know, to have secular studies for high school, like in the afternoon, better they should close the yeshiva. So they closed the yeshiva. Okay, that you could hear because at least the Masorah is, you know, want to have a yeshiva, yeshiva is full time. Yeah. We're not going to just take half of it. Because they felt, let's say they would say in you know, somebody would say, like, have to have a yeshiva and secular studies in the morning. Florida would come out with a law. Any school with more than three people in it, anyone teaching more than three people, you have to have secular studies in the morning. So we would say, you know what, close the school. Because the people have to know that that's not a yeshiva. So we'll close the school and go, don't learn in Florida. Go to New York. Go to, you know, St. Louis. I don't know. Go somewhere else. Go to Vancouver. Go to, I don't know, Lakewood. But you don't have the yeshiva when you learn secular studies in the morning. So we would close our doors. I think that would be I could hear that being the psak. Go to Milwaukee. And don't stay in Florida. It's also to do that. But I don't know, would you say that about white shirts, that, you know, no, it's so terrible that close the doors of the yeshiva and go to Miami because we will not wear white shirts? I don't know if they're mechuyev to do that. It doesn't sound like the right thing. It's like, okay, everyone knows that. So they had to make it, they felt they had to make a law.
Every time you're under a little
make
pressure, you break the Torah?
It's a little more than a little pressure.
Well, what do you mean pressure? It's not pressure.
They weren't getting the best guys, so they have to.
Well, sometimes when it goes, you'll end up with no guys, not and the best guys. You know, we had a situation.
No guy, like the numbers are going down.
Does that mean that was when the Matzias was Tarzan's commandant?
What?
That the Matzias was that they wouldn't have had guys.
Tarzan's commandant changed not for the reason Tiferes Yisrael changed. Tarzan's commandant changed because they held wear white shirts. They got yeshivish people in, and they held that you should wear white shirts. They weren't doing it for Chofetz Chaim didn't hold that you should wear white shirts. They just felt they had to make that rule because that's how everyone's dressing. This one, you know, when I was in yeshiva, I trimmed my beard every Friday, but even the yeshiva said when you go into and we hold that's a mitzvah. You get tzchar for Chofetz Shabbos. You should shave Erev Shabbos. You should shave. And that's what we hold. That's the halacha. It's brought down in Chassam Sofer, the quotes of Magen Avraham, and that's what you should do. So why, when you go to Brooklyn, don't you shave? You know, you think you're getting more schar, but you can't because people think. I remember people think that I went up to the Yomud and he had Chofetz Chaim guy, and he had shaved Erev Shabbos, and the Rav threw him out. You can't daven for the Yomud. You shake it.
You
threw
him out.
Yes.
What? That was thrilling.
He threw him off the Yomud. Wouldn't let him daven.
He threw him off the Yomud.
Yes. Yes.
Who was this?
I can't say. It'll be Lashon Hara. And Baruch Hashem.
What is this Rav thinking?
They didn't know he was from Brooklyn. It's true.
Rav.
And he didn't. He was not familiar. He just assumed that, you know, Chofetz Chaim, they're more lenient. They're mekel. They don't want to take on the chumra like. He didn't know. Baruch Hashem, he didn't throw him off the Amid in the middle of daming you off. He didn't let him go up. And Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Stuhlberger was around, so I stick Rabbi Stuhlberger on the Rav. Rabbi Stuhlberger took care of him. You know, he did not mince any words. The poor Rav was never the same again. So, Matan, could you pour me some more, please? So I don't know. To me, it seems like, you know, they really hadn't. And I don't need more ice. I'm enough ice. I don't know if Brooklyn had a choice on that. Is that considered such a flagrant violation under the circumstances? I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem that way. You know, I mean, there was with great trepidation, and I don't know what people think, but I think it was with great trepidation. And it's Brooklyn. Like to do it in Miami. Yeah, that would be you're caving in just for. Yeah, that would be in the darga of, you know, it's because you cave in. We can't attract the Talmidim. I'm sure there are people in the community here would, you know, it's getting close to that they want to see yeshiva with white shirts. It's getting there. And will it happen one day? It probably will. Oh, will it will make it? Nah, I don't think so. Not in our day. Still Miami. You know, it's in a certain way where, you know, but Brooklyn, I could hear why they would lose the yeshiva. I don't think they would just lose the top tier. They would lose the top tier. The second to top tier thinks they're the top tier. So if you lose the top tier, you lose the second top tier. The third top tier thinks they're as good as the second top tier. So if the second top tier goes, the third top tier goes too. And Bechule. You know, I think yeshivas do not have any rights. No one has any obligation to send to any one yeshiva. And there are many, many yeshivas over the course of time who were huge, big, thriving yeshivas that ended up closing. It's like, you know, so okay, you know, maybe like there was migration, the community moved from Brownsville to Crown Heights to Borough Park to Flatbush. The big yeshivas in Borough Park left. Some of them closed. They don't exist anymore. The ones who are forward thinking, who are trying to anticipate, the future, they're the ones who are probably be around longer. You just got, you know. So I don't know. It could be that, you know, at that point, Brooklyn realized that they're going to survive in this area. They can't shave Erev Shabbos. Is it? Should you when you go to Brooklyn? The Rashiva said you shouldn't shave when you go to Brooklyn. When you're in Rome, you do as the Romans. He used to say that word. When you're in Rome, you do as the Romans. So.
There was no lahavos over there.
What do you mean?
Romans, Brooklyn. See, just like say like lahavos. Usually, when they want to compare someone to Hashem, so he's like, "We're not going to compare it to Hashem, but we're going to compare it to Hashem."
So you were there when they made the rule.
So
when they made the rule, what did they say? I'm asking a question. When they made the rule, what did they say? Nachum was there.
It was more.
Well, I remember that I was in 11th grade. I was in college.
You were 9th grade. He was 11th.
I was in 8th grade. It was my going into 9th grade.
We went into. This is when Shiner spoke to all the yeshivas in Flatbush. Yitzchak Shiner. And we were all in like one massive room, Tar Vadas, Tar Tamimo, Chaim Lenimo. And the only other school with colored shirts was Bar Yitzchak, which is like Kira Yeshiva.
Makes us look good.
That was the way where people looked at it all the time. It was like a Kira Yeshiva at that point. And the guys that were getting. I remember some kids.
Kids
were kicked out.
It's not getting much better, guys. It's not keeping much better, guys.
I want to know, what did they say? Did they say, like, Rabbos say Nebuch, Rabbos say Harab, and we have to
inquire? Yes, that's the film. When Yidosh was back, he said that. It's awesome. We didn't want it, but it's some serious and flabbish now. We're going to get to the riot early.
Right, so the guys wear white shirts with a few tears. All right.
I mean, I just
with that in mind, what's so terrible? I don't know.
This year, Ojave tried getting a new role implemented. In 12th grade had to wear white shirts.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. They did all the white shirts with the black buttons and the blue coming up here with the green collars. And
again,
it's a Rubinov shirt. It's like yeah.
Hey, why is that bad? They're getting they got a lot of next.
Yeah, no. The problem is when that happens. When that happens, they make such a galachter out of it, you know. But that they have different overtory, has different challenges.
There was someone I knew who was a professional who wore a colored shirt, and the son was in the 8th grade at the time in Tiferet Yisrael. So I asked him, like, oh, what are you planning on? Is he staying in Tiferet Yisrael? Is he going to leave? So at the beginning of the year, before they were planning on making the new white shirt rule, he said, yeah, I know, I'm not really comfortable keeping him in the high school because I want him to wear a white shirt. And even the father wasn't wearing a white shirt. And then later on in the year, I said, oh, by the way, you heard they're making a new rule next year. They're putting white shirts. He's like, yeah, I'm probably going to keep my son there. And sure enough, kept his son there. Now his son is a Nechavz Chaim branch.
Completely not Nechavz Chaim branch. That's a good story. The father came there to wearing a dark purple shirt. Oh, he says he wants to ask Kira because he wore blue shirts, you know, like all shirts. So she asked like him, what color shirt are you wearing? Like, are you saying this? Like, hello, you're wearing a dark purple shirt. Like, you're commenting on us wearing colored shirts. And he was like, yeah, at least while you're in Yeshiva, I had white shirts. I was like, and that was his answer to that. It's messed up.
Unfortunately, you know, Yiddishkeit has become very, you know, Rabbi Sharfman would have a whole rant on this, but like, people get inspired over things. They know Masorah, so you know, the people don't know. If a guy's a Ben Yeshiva, he spent years, he has a Rebbe, and he learned in Telz, or he learned in, you know, Lakewood, he learned in Mir, he learned in Chaim Berlin. So he has a Rebbe, he has Masorah, so he has an understanding of what Torah is. Those aren't the people running to Uman. And I'm not saying everyone who goes to Uman is crazy. I'm just saying most of them are. They're not crazy. I know some very, very chashev people who went, but there are a bunch of nutcases, and that is Yiddishkeit to them. So a ben yeshiva is different. A ben yeshiva is someone who has a rebbe, and that is it. As far as we hold, that is where Yiddishkeit stems from. Is from having a rebbe. It's the most important aspect of yeshiva, is having a rebbe, and therefore we have absolutely no objection to different people learning from that different yeshivas who have a mesorah. That's their mesorah. They should honor their mesorah. They should keep their mesorah. We don't have any problem with that. It's the people who have no mesorah, and some of the problems. Some of the yeshivas, they have. The yeshiva has no Masorah. They have like 11 different, you know, rebbeim, each one from a different yeshiva. So the Talmud comes out after 11 years in the yeshiva, and they, you know, they have, you know, the right side with payas, the left side without payas, the right side's a white shirt, the left side's a, you know, is a gartel on the left side. They're so mixed up, you know.
They're saying that when Cleveland. They're basically switching out the manalim like every couple of years because it wasn't fitting into the community. Because each person, they tried to basically adapt into the community because they had their own set Mesorah in. So that's why I said when Chavetz Chaim's going to go there, he said it's going to be different because when we bring it in a Mesorah, we're not going to be adapting into the community that we force to adapt to us, and therefore it's not going to be like trying to play around with them.
Right. That's a very big factor. And unless you could have Aaron Light is going to, you know, take a look, and there are certain things they may have to do to adapt to the community. And that's assuming the community is dying; they're dying for yeshiva. So I think it has to be very ripe. You know, the community needs a Chavetz Chaim yeshiva, but what happens when the Chavetz Chaim yeshiva, they're not going to take because they don't like this, and they're all not going. Then that's when the challenge is going to come. About which things have to be tweaked. Every yeshiva and every community has to be tweaked. Like LA, you know, they had to. There are a lot of things that they would do differently in a different community, but in LA, they had to Valley Torah. They had to really address the needs in the valley, and it's not so simple at all. I know that when I was in yeshiva in the 80s, I was always such a big hack. What should be and what shouldn't be done in LA. Well, the guys like talking about it, but the Rosh Hashivas, Rabbi Stuhlberger, Rabbi Cohn, you know, they held that the community needs certain things, and on the cooler side, you know, didn't require hats. Even Boca, Rabbi Schloss told me that the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Grumman, Rabbi Harris, told them that they should not require hats for davening in Boca. By Miami, we do. Now, it could be a lot of the kids do wear hats, but they said they shouldn't require them because that's gonna create a very big, you know, turmoil.
Is that Boca High School they don't require?
I do not think it's required.
Interesting.
Highly recommend. And this is, yeah, we encourage our students to wear,
it's funny,
you know.
Ruben didn't wear it.
He was the guy by
Dalvin
who made sure everyone had their hat and jacket on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You can't,
and it's funny how it's like.
No, but it's not time to tell you Masorah. That's telling you. We have a Masorah that you have to use Seichel. It's also Masorah. So the Seichel that works in Brooklyn is different than the Seichel that works in Boca, but it's the same yeshiva. So even though they're wearing, it's the same Masorah, but in Brooklyn, you wear white shirts, but in, you know, Miami, you don't. That's not a din in, you know, a change in Masorah. But I do hear why. I know it was a very big hack. I remember in Brooklyn, they felt. You know, they're there and they knew what people are saying, and they can have a yeshiva. You can close down the yeshiva because they have to wear a white shirt. I can hear worse of errors than wearing a white shirt, you know.
But that's such a big deal also,
like Masorah is a very big deal. You're going against the Masorah, you know, you don't want to change not one, you know, piece of a yud. You know, you don't want to change anything. Masorah, to keep. Remember to say that the Rebbe couldn't pronounce a certain word, couldn't say ches, said hey, and the Talmud also said, if to say, even say it over the same way as the Rebbe used to say it. You have to even pronounce the words the same. And we try and keep the Masorah. A Masorah means this is how the, this is what the Rebbe held. The Yeshiva held that you should keep the Yeshiva's Masorah more than your parents' Masorah. I don't know.
So you said you can't make
mishkan to Masorah. I never asked the Rosh Yeshiva that question because I didn't want to hear, you know, he didn't say it, so I didn't ask. I was afraid to hear the answer. But like, do you stand for Kiddush, sit for Kiddush?
No,
so
wrong,
what do you do? What do you do? You know, so I think the Rosh Yeshiva held you should take on the yeshiva. A person should take on his yeshiva's Masorah.
When he gets married. Rebbe said himself, when you're in Rome,
when he's married. What do you mean he's married?
He gets married, then he can start doing the Yeshiva's Masorah.
But who said maybe should be your father's Masorah? And to be Pashtus, should be your father's Masorah, not Yeshiva's Masorah.
Pashtus.
But I don't know. I didn't hear the Rosh Yeshiva talk about it too much, but I was always afraid to ask. You know, like, for instance, like, you know, putting on tefillin, the big one is putting on tefillin and Chol Hamoed. We're going to have to end in 3 minutes. But putting on tefillin and Chol Hamoed. So, my father didn't put on tefillin and Chol Hamoed. And I didn't buy tefillin and Chol Hamoed. But when we started the minyan in yeshiva here, so that was a very big din, very big shah. I'm saying it over. I've told it this over before, but I'll say it for the recording. And, but I was the Rosh Yeshiva, myself and Ryan Mandel puts on tefillin, and what should we do? Should we, if I'm going to yeshiva, like, well, again the tamid, there was no minyan. We want to make a minyan for the kids to come. Chol Hamoed, nobody went to shul. I was like, we can get them, you know, to come to shul. Like the old days, nothing was set up. The people didn't go to shul. It was like a jungle, Yiddish guy jungle. So when I go, how will you madrach the kids? Some of them didn't have Masorah. I don't know. If you want them to see what the yeshiva does, so at least they should have the opportunity to see what their yeshiva does. So does their yeshiva wear tefillin or not wear tefillin? So I'm going to be behind the mechitza, you know, with my tefillin off. And when I was the reshiva. Should I have Mandel sit in the front with his tefillin? I was sitting behind the mechitza. It was like a little weird. How should you do it? So I called Rabbi Neiman Shlita Zatzal, in Queens. He said, oh, it's a great shayla. Rav Kalman Winters, who was living at the time, Zatzal had the same shayla when he was going to Buffalo to start a shul in Buffalo. And he spoke to Rav Moshe Feinstein on this issue. Call him. So I didn't have any kesher where Rav Kalman went there, but I called him. Mordechai Pell, he knew who I was, and he told me, yeah, thank you for calling. I'll tell you exactly what happened. I called Rav Moshe, said I'm being starting a shul in Buffalo, and my father does not wear tefillin, but I'm starting a new shul. How should I be miyaseh the shul? To wear tefillin Chol Hamoed, not wear tefillin Chol Hamoed. And Moshe says, zicher, you should miyaseh the shul, that they should wear tefillin. You should tell the Baal Batin they should wear tefillin Chol Hamoed. And Rav Kalman Winter reiterated, but my father goes, okay, your father doesn't wear, but you know, you have miyaseh the shul, you'll have to wear. So Rav Kalman Winter, to make it, just make sure 100% clear, says my father's going to be with me for Yontif. So I'm going to put on tefillin in front of my father. So Rav Moshe, who had a sense of humor, made a joke, and he said, no, you have many situations like the in Yiddish. You have many situations nowadays where the sons are firmer than the fathers, where the fathers don't wear tefillin and the sons do. He was talking about a kiruv situation where the fathers are off the derech and the sons came from and put on tefillin. He used it and applied it to Chol Hamoed, that the son is firmer than the father, that the father doesn't put on tefillin and the son does. Because Litvish hold, you know, you should put on tefillin. Like, they don't mince words. So he told me, yeah, you should put on tefillin. So I checked back where Nami says, yeah, you should, based on that, you should put on tefillin. So I tell my father, I think once I told my father, I'm not really with him on Chol Hamoed, you know. If I was going to a shul, I probably wouldn't. If I was going down with my father now in shul on Chol Hamoed, I probably couldn't put in front of my father, put on tefillin. And so I would just put tefillin on later. I'll tell you what happened. So So I started putting on tefillin, but it's a little weird if anyone's in yeshiva on Chol Hamoed. So my brother didn't have that Maishala. He wasn't starting the minyan, so he doesn't put on tefillin. You see the two of us in yeshiva, I put on tefillin, he doesn't put on tefillin, because I'm putting on tefillin for a different reason. So I still felt that I was only putting on tefillin on because of Moshe's psak for yeshiva. So, but then my son was behind bar mitzvah. Now what do I tell my son to do? I tell my son, he's not miyase the yeshivas, like what should he do? So that was a real shaila. So that I went to Rabbi Grumblat, for Shiva was not living anymore, and we presented the shaila to Rabbi Grumblat. And what should we do? Put on tefillin, not put on tefillin? He thought about it. He thought about it for about 10, 15 minutes. Because it's not like black and white, it's like you have to think through. So he said, your son should put on tefillin. So, okay, so he put on tefillin. So apparently, so on this, we're taking on the yeshiva's Masorah, you know, put on tefillin. So we had tefillin, Chol Hamoed. But that's how vital Masorah is, you know, it's to be really, really precise. We try and keep the Masorah. But what does Masorah mean? It means that we hold it's right and they are someone doing something so terrible. Masorah means like you try and do exactly as you learn from your Rebbe. That's the only way the best way to preserve what we learned from our Rebbe, to try and do everything like our Rebbe. And when there's a need for change, we don't believe in change. We don't. But when there is a need for change, that has to ask a shayla on that also. Is it the right thing? You know, sometimes there is a need for change. Times change. There are certain situations that require different, ways to do it. Okay, shkoach, everyone.